And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick. And tonight, well, we have a very interesting wine here. I think this will be, this is Shiraz, a Shiraz from Australia. And I'm hoping this will work out to be a decent wine tonight. This is called a Posy Shiraz, McLaren Vale. And, well, I don't know. I saw it in Trader Joe's, and I thought, well, this looks pretty interesting. So I thought we'd try it tonight. Also, we're going to review a coffee as well. This is a coffee that is from Trader Joe's, and it is a French roast. Also, we're going to do a little TV trivia. Well, not TV trivia, excuse me, movie trivia related to TV trivia a little bit. It's going to be sci-fi trivia. So we're going to do a little bit of that tonight, and hopefully we get a lot of people in the chats to contribute to all of that trivia to the fun. If I seem a little bit distracted, I am, because I'm watching. Looks like there's a little bit of a hang-up there on I don't know if that's coming back to me or going out. If you see the show hanging up at all and you're in the chats, please let me know, because it should not be happening. Should be coming right back. I'm going to switch over to another. There we go. There we go. Let's see if that works better. All right, well, if you're joining me for the first time, or the 221st time, because this is the 221st episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes, and they're right here in front of me, and I think I just went over most of them. We're going to introduce this Posy Shiraz wine, and we're going to open, pour, taste it, and give it a fair and an honest review. I'm going to pair it with some foods prepared by my lovely wife, Chi, tonight. We're going to toast some national days. We're going to review a French roast coffee. And we're going to have some sci-fi trivia. So I hope you'll join me for all of that. Okay, so that's what's on my notes. So I'm just reading my whole show notes here. But now, of course, this is a guide. This is a guide because we don't follow this verbatim. Sometimes we go way off the beaten path, because this is really more of a stream of consciousness kind of show. And the show is not about me. I'm just here to provide the entertainment, what entertainment there is to provide. The show is somewhat about the wine, and in this case, the coffee. But the show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, no matter what they are, and just sitting back and having a great time. Now, you can get to the chats wherever. Let's see, where do we have the chats now? Okay, we have live chats going in all of these venues. Let me show you where we can where you can get into the chats here. There we go. Saturday Night Wine Stream, our Facebook page is facebook.com/drinkwithrick. YouTube is youtube.com/@drinkwithrick. Twitch is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick, and the number one, all one word. And on Odyssey is @drinkwithrick:, and the number 7. And that's where you can join live on for the chats. Now, you can also watch live on our, that's last week's episode here. Let me refresh with this week's episode on the page. There we go. You can watch live on our website. The website is drinkwithrick.com. Now, if you click on this little post for tonight's episode, as I'm doing right now, scroll down, you'll see a comment box. You can put your comments in there. You can add a comment, and I will respond in kind. It won't be right away. It's whenever I can see it. It won't be right off the bat, but I will respond, and I will read your comments on the next episode of the show. Also, you can, let me pull that up here. You can listen anytime on the podcast. If you can't watch now or watch later, you can listen anytime. The podcast version of the show goes out Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay, 10 p.m. Eastern on Monday nights. And you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, PodcastIndex.org, or by email. If you click on the little blue button on the website and subscribe page at DrinkWithRick.com, wow. Put your email address in the box and send it off to me, and you'll get the latest episode of Drink with Rick, the podcast, as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. Yeah, I know. I do a couple of podcasts, and sometimes, well, every once in a while, I'll get a little tongue-twisted and forget which podcast I'm doing for the moment. But, no, this is Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, all right? All right, so I don't know what happened there. I was a little bit, distracted at the very, very beginning of the show because, for some reason, the live feed coming back at me was halting quite a bit, and that was kind of throwing me off. I was a little concerned about that. It looks like things are going okay right now. I hope so. Anyway. Aside from the podcast, of course, if you want, you can buy me a coffee or two or three or whatever on the page at drinkwithrick.com. Let me pull that back up there. There we go. The webpage is drinkwithrick.com. And you can buy me a coffee or two or three or four or five. Well, how many you ever want to buy me? That helps support the show. It does not make me rich by any sense of the word. It doesn't. This is the most expensive show I've ever produced, and I've got a lot of bills to pay on it. And to be honest, every little bit helps. And really, actually, everything that gets donated right now goes to paying for the prizes on the show that we give away. And I'm trying to save up enough to give away a substantial number of prizes for the holidays, which are coming up very, very soon. So hopefully we'll have some prizes for that. Also, you can subscribe and like and follow in all the venues. You know, you go to Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. You follow, like, subscribe. Please do all of that if you can. I don't want to beg for it. It's just that every little bit helps to support the show. This all goes to supporting the show and getting it out there. So if you can, I really, really appreciate it. But there's no obligation to. You're not forced to do it. And by the way, if you know, if you don't like the show, that's fine too. Hopefully you do. But please encourage you to like and subscribe and follow if you like the show and you want to continue to see the shows coming at you. Please do so you can get them the notifications in your inbox, and you won't miss an episode, a single episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, especially coming up in the holidays. We've got some big plans for the holidays, so hope you'll join us for that. Okay, so. This is I'm going to show you what we've got going on here. But let me check the chats first. Let me check and make sure everything's cool in the chats at the moment. And it looks like we're good. Looks like we're live everywhere where we can be live. Excellent. So let me show you what we're doing tonight. This is the wine that we're going to open. It's called a Posy Shiraz. I mentioned at the very beginning of the show. Posy Shiraz McLaren Vale. And let me read the back of this wine for you a little bit. It's very interesting. It says, Posy 2016 Shiraz McLaren Ale, McLaren Vale, Australia, and 2016 Shiraz. And that's what really caught my eye when I saw it. Well, aside from the fact that it's got this bright orange and white label on it, which really caught my eye, and I almost passed this up at first. I really almost passed this thing up because I thought, well, this looks kind of a cheap wine. But as I looked a little bit closer and it said 2016, I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a try. So this is what the back says. It says McLaren Vale is home to sustainable wine growing and world-class wines. That sounds promising. The region's Shiraz is widely perceived to be Australia's premier grape varietal. Posy has an impressive array of savory aromas and flavors, beginning with blackberry, raspberry, and plum, along with tantalizing hints of wild herbs, cracked black pepper, and exotic spices. We'll have to find out if we can pick any of that out in here. This is a 2016 Shiraz red wine, and there is 14.9% ABV in the 750-milliliter bottle. Now, I'm going to get back to this back label in just a second. 14, wow, that's a lot. 14.9, that's only 15%. And as you know, and as I've said many times in the past, that what they say on the label for the ABV is usually not what the ABV actually is. It's usually considerably higher than that. That kind of concerns me a little bit because I really don't like wines that are too, you know, that have too much of an alcohol taste in them. I want to be able to taste all of the, you know, these things, the blackberry and the whatever, the raspberry, the plum, and the tantalizing hits of wild herbs, cracked black pepper, and exotic spices. That's what I want to taste in this wine, not the alcohol so much. We'll see. We'll see. But there's one more thing I want to point out on the back of this label. If you look down below, if you can read it, it does say produced by South Australian Wine Group Limited, and it says imported by Third Leaf Trading Company in Sausalito, California, a wine of Australia. But if you look down just below the line that has the 2016 Shiraz red wine, 750 milliliter, 14.9% ABV, it said, well, the main 15 cents. It's a 15 cent deposit. There you go. But the next year contains, okay, here's what it says, contains sulfites, milk, and egg white. What? Sulfites, milk, and egg white. So we have some milk and egg white in this. I don't know. That's very interesting. We'll have to find out more about what this is all about. So that's what we've got going on there. So I'm going to go ahead and open this wine up, and we're going to find out just what it tastes like with sulfites, milk, and egg whites. Right off the bat, that doesn't sound very appetizing, does it? Doesn't exactly sound like my kind of wine, but hey. Okay, so I'll see if I can explain the milk and egg whites a little bit later. It's not, I mean, yeah. Anyway, for those of you who know, you know what that really means. But they're being a little snarky here with that. All right, let's get right to opening the bottle of wine. And this is easy to open because it's just a twist cap right there. Smell of the bottle cap. Maybe a little more milk and egg whites than I figured. All right. Look, let me check the chest one more time here. And, okay, I think we're good at the moment, right? Okay. All right, so we've got this bottle open. And I guess I'm going to put the aerator in it because we need to aerate this wine. Oh, whoa, look at that. We've got some displacement there. Let's unfortunately have a... Wow, so this bottle was full. Does it have a... It does not have a deep punt on it. It doesn't have much of a punt at all. If you know the deep punt that... so this is... Wow, look at that. It's... Can you see it? It's, I mean, this is full. This is full right to the brim. Wow. Oh, wow. I don't know if I can get this thing in here without losing some wine. Okay, let me see if I can do it this way. Because I really want to aerate this wine. But it's, whoa. Yeah, look at that. It's bleeding wine right here. It's bleeding wine right off the top of the bottle. And look at how full it is. Wow. Okay, so, amazing. Don't see that very often. All right, so I'm going to have to be very careful with this, and I'm already making a mess on the desk here. All right, got that situated. Wow, it's, look at that. It's just over just about overflowing into the, look at this. Can I get another shot of this? There you go. It's overflowing into the aerator. Look at that. This aerator is, I don't know how much of the wine it's going to be able to aerate on the first pour, because it's just all the way through. Well, all right, well, we'll try it out. All right, and to hold the grape nectar, whatever it can hold, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass given to me by my employers at buytwoayradios.com, and I do thank them for it. Very, very nice and generous folks that they are. I'm going to pour a little bit of this into the glass, of course, to hold the glass and to catch any of the wine that gets dumped onto the desk here. Below the glass, I have my genuine... No, I don't. Oh, man. I just... Well, there's one to clip. There's a clip for you. Oh, I really made a mess here. I didn't look at that. There's no take two on that one, folks. This is live. This is live. Nice recovery, Rick. Thank you. Wow, that's... I don't know. All right. So, look at that. I made a mess right there, didn't I? Look at that mess. I got it all over me. I did. I got it all over me. Will. Anyway. So. My mess up tonight. Well, at least I got rid of the displacement here. Look at this. I got rid of the displacement. Okay. Whatever. All right. So to hold the wine glass, hopefully, I have my genuine Drink with Rick coaster, the official Drink with Rick wine coaster or beer coaster, whatever you want it to be. And I can tell you, I'll tell you how to get one of those in episode 2 of 5. Look up episode 2 of 5, and I can tell you how to get a pair of those free, as long as we still have them. That's it. Okay, let me go ahead and pour this in here before we have any other disasters or mishaps. And I'm going to pour a little bit more. We have plenty in the bottle, apparently, except for whatever I dumped. Okay. So, where was I? Let me take off the hat. All right, so let's see what we're doing next. Oh, yes, we're going to swirl. We're going to give it a nice, good swirl and get some air flowing in this wine. Yeah, it really threw me off my game here tonight, that little mishap. A couple of mishaps. Okay, we got two mishaps so far. We've got the glitches at the very beginning of the show, and we have that kind of distracted me, and then we have this little accident, and let's hope there's not a third one. Don't they usually come in threes? I hope not. Let's hope there are no more disasters tonight. All right, so let me go ahead and swirl the wine, and we need some swirling music. Let's see what we've got here. Let's get some swirling music here with more cowbell. All right. Get a swirl going here. More cowbell. Okay. All right, so we've got everything's on a big delay for me tonight. I don't know what's going on with that. Everything's on a delay. All right, so we've got the wine swirl done. Let me check the chats one more time. Whoop. Darn. I'm losing stuff every left and right here. I lost my my browser here for just a moment. Okay. What else? What else can go wrong tonight? What else can go? Some nights things go just fine, then other nights they just, I don't know. All right. That's part of the excitement of a live show, isn't it? That's part of the excitement of it. You just never know what's going to happen. You just never know what's going to happen next. Don't want to knock that over. All right. So we have the wine. It's opening up. We're going to let it open up a few more minutes. I am wet. I've got wine all over. I smell like wine. Whew. Definitely don't want to get in a car and drive right now. And I haven't had any yet. So, yeah, kids stopped and went, ooh, you've been drinking. No, I haven't. Not yet. okay, so anyway, where was I? All right. Check the chats. Chats are stable. And, oh, yes, we're going to learn a little bit more about this wine. Let's learn a little bit more about this wine. So I looked around online. As I said before, I was walking around Trader Joe's, which is where I purchased it. I have to be careful where I'm waving my arms now. I'm going to be in big trouble. I'm going to knock all kinds of things over. I was walking around Trader Joe's, and I saw this bottle, and at first, I thought, well, this is not great because it's orange and white. It looks really cheap, you know. It's like you know, just a flashier version of $2 Chuck or something. Or $3 Chuck or whatever it is now. But then I took another look at it, and then I said, well, actually, maybe it's not so bad. So I said, why not? I'll take a chance on it, and that's what I did. I purchased it for this review tonight. And then when I went up to the register, there was a very nice lady there who was bagging the groceries. And she said, oh, you're going to like this Posy Shiraz. I like this Posy Shiraz. It's really very, very good. That gave me hope. That gave me hope that it might actually be something. Or was she talking about that other bottle? I don't remember now. That was another bottle of wine I purchased too. Might have been that other one down there. We're going to open that in a couple of weeks. it's all blur now. Anyway, so I got this home and I said, well, let me do a little bit of checking. See, this is how it works for me. When I go out and buy wine, when I go out and buy a lot of things, you know, on wherever it is, Amazon or go out to Best Buy or someplace, I always do a lot of research on what I'm going to buy first before I buy it and say, okay, is this any good? Which version of this should I get? What is this? What are the reviews on this? Like it or not like it? But no, not with the wine. With the wine, I'll see a bottle and I'll say, hey, this looks good. Let's try this. And I'll take it home. I'll pay for it, take it home. And then, yeah, I do pay for it. I take it home, and then when I get home, that's when I go look it up and see what it's all about. There are a few times I've been sorry I did that, but hey, I never learn, right? Okay, so this is what I found out online. Not a whole heck of a lot. Reverse Wine Swap. I went on Reverse Wine Snob site, and they said that it's smooth. Not really. I don't know what that means exactly, but they said that they seem to like it. They seem to like the wine somewhat. But let me explain what the milk and the egg whites, because Reverse Wine Snob, here I am mixing my merch up, I haven't had any wine yet. Reverse Wine Snob, according to their site, they say that when they have the ingredients in there listed as sulfites, which is in all wines pretty much, and the milk and the egg whites. The milk is the casein is it pronounced casein? I don't know. And I just drink it. I don't know how to pronounce it. And egg whites, the albumin in the wine. Those are basically fining ingredients according to Reverse Wine Snob. And they basically bind with unwanted components in wine and then are filtered out. So if they're filtered out, if they combine with unwanted, if they combine with unwanted components and are then filtered out, why are they listed in the ingredients? Does that mean they're still in, or they don't filter it all out? Maybe traces of it, of them are still in there? Who knows? We're going to find out in just a moment or two. So I checked around on Cellar Tracker. Cellar Tracker gave it a 73, one user review. I didn't really read the review much. From what I can tell, it doesn't look like they liked it that much. It was kind of meh. 2016 Southern South Australian Wine Group Shiraz Posy. That's how they have it listed. So you can go to Cellar Tracker and look it up yourself and read the review. I didn't really study it myself. But they gave it a 73 points there, I guess. One user review. And Vivino has it listed 3.4 stars with 125 star ratings. It's out of a 5-star rating, 125 ratings, 3.4 stars. And according to Vivino, the 2016 Shiraz rates better than any other year for this particular Posy Shiraz wine. I checked around for pricing. Cellar Tracker wasn't much help. Reverse Wine Snob said that it goes for about $7.99. Vivino has it listed for $7.70. Let me see what I paid for it, because I'm pretty sure I have where is it? Boy, that wine on me is starting to really smell like smell like old wine now. Let me see if I can find this thing. It's in here somewhere, I'm pretty sure. No, it's not here. Let's see what else I got here. That's Trader Joe's. I'm going to throw all my Trader. I buy a lot of stuff from Trader Joe's. My wife was there today, as a matter of fact, buying some stuff. No, I don't see it here in any of these, unless they call it something else. Let's see what this is. Trader Joe's. Here's one more receipt. Trader Joe's. Is this the Posy Shiraz here? Yes, it is. This is the one with the Posy Shiraz on it. Posy Shiraz McLaren Vale Wine, $7.99. That's what I have here, $7.99. So I basically paid the going price for it. All right, having said that, let's go ahead and see if we can give it a taste. Before I do that, let me check the chats one more time. See how things are going in the chats. Yeah, feel free to clip it. If I mess something up, just sure, feel free to clip it, and especially on Twitch, and share it with everybody. Everybody laugh along. laugh at me, laugh with me, just laugh. It's fine. It's all good. It's entertainment. That's what the show's about. Okay, so let me give this a little bit of a taste. And yeah, we're good on the, okay. So let me see what we got here on the nose. Yeah, very kind of jammy. Yeah, smells a little jammy. A little spicy. And a bit of blackberry. But you know what else I smell? I kind of smell a little bit of alcohol. That, to me, is not a good sign. I don't really want to smell alcohol on the nose on the wine. I want to smell the fruit flavors on the wine. So there must be a lot of alcohol in here. Maybe they should have put in more milk and egg whites. Okay, whoa. That's a busy wine there. This is a bold wine. Now, I checked around the Vivino site, and they said it was going to be kind of bold. This is fairly bold on the first taste. And there's quite a bit of tannin in the wine. It's not overly tannic, but there's a fair amount of tannin in this wine. But I will say, yes, it's peppery. It's very peppery. Just like they said on the over here, they said it was, it says hints of wild herbs, cracked black pepper, and exotic spices. There are some spices. I can't really necessarily pick them out, but right off the bat. But yes, it is very peppery, and it's and I like black pepper. You know, I put black pepper on a lot of things, but this is very peppery. More than a hint, I think. Oh. And there is, yeah, I can taste the blackberry. It's kind of earthy. I can taste the blackberry, and I'm not getting any raspberry. They're saying there's raspberry. I'm not really tasting raspberry. I'm getting a little hint of plum, just a little bit of plum. But again, I'm getting more of the black pepper than I am of the plum. And yeah, it's a little juicy. It's a little juicy. Fairly, it's kind of sweet on the tongue. At the end, it goes down dry, and then at the very end and the finish, it gets a little sweet again. But that first taste, when it went down, it was there were a lot of aromas that came back up into the nose. I mean, it was very aromatic. On the finish, when I swallowed, and on the finish, a lot of aromas that just came right back through my nose the other way. It was, I wasn't quite expecting that. Very aromatic. And, yes, a lot of spice and a lot of pepper. I don't know if I really like this in a wine. And yes, I was getting some of the alcohol back up in the finish. I was tasting some of the alcohol. So, yes, this is fairly, yeah, there's a lot of alcohol in this wine. And once again, yeah, the finish. And yes, I am getting the pepper, blackberry pepper. And I'm not really tasting the plum so much anymore. It is a little earthy, but this is the spices here. There's some spices, but it just comes right back. When you swallow, it just comes right in the finish. It's a long finish, but it's kind of a blast back up your nose for the spices and the it's kind of perfumey, you know. It's kind of perfumey, and I think that's what the word I'm looking for is that when it comes back on your nose, it's really kind of perfumey, and it has kind of a perfumey taste that just kind of lingers in the mouth after you've swallowed. And yes, I can taste a bit of the alcohol in it. I'm not saying it's bad wine. I'm just saying it's something that I wasn't expecting, and it's something I don't know if I'm really used to. I don't know. I don't know yet. I'll have to get down into the bottle and find out, right? I don't want to go down too far in this bottle because it's, it's on the breath too. Got the exotic spices. I can feel that on the breath. It's almost like, wow. It's very, and when I spilled some on me earlier, I could smell it. It was very perfumey wine. And I still smell it. So it's, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to give this one a little bit of time to, it's opened up in my mouth, that's for sure. Okay, so let me pour a little bit more of this. I don't know if, I'll tell you what, though, it's, I don't know what to think about this wine. I'm just going to have to try it. We're going to have to pair it with some foods before I can really give you a final say on it. All I can say is it's important not to keep these things bottled up. You know what I mean? Open it up. Open the wine up. Give it a chance to breathe and then taste it over a period of time. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so we've got the tasting, the initial tasting done, and I don't know what to think of it yet, to be honest. My lovely wife, Chi, is in the chat on YouTube, and she says hi, and hi right back at you to my lovely wife, Chi. And since she's here, let me go ahead and show you what we have to pair it with tonight. The wine, that is, to pair the wine with. So this is what we've got. Camera 3 is open. Look at this. This is a nice bit of... We do have some meat there. There's a steak. And what was that filet mignon we had tonight? I'm trying not to... I'm trying not to oversell this, but this is not for the stream. I mean, she didn't cook this just for the stream. We had it. They're leftovers. They're always leftovers, okay? And we don't have those kind of leftovers every... We don't have those kind of meals every night, right? But what we have in the middle is a steak, and then we have some cheeses, a couple of cheeses. We have the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda there at the bottom, right down there. And then next to that, on the other side, is the Creamy Toscana with Coastal Syrah. This may go actually pretty well with the wine, with this wine, because this is a Shiraz, also known as a Syrah. So this should work pretty well, I think. We'll see. And let me check the chats one more time here. Okay, we're good. All right, so that's what we have to pair it with. Now, let me show you what she has. I know from the top, if you look at the top, there are a couple of other things in there that I have not shown you yet. But let me show you what those items are. We'll bring up the photos. This is her presentation. This is her food presentation for tonight. That's looking straight on, not from the top down, straight on. And this is a really nice presentation. It has to do with two of the national days that we're going to toast tonight. So let's go ahead and with the toasting, and then we'll get to the national days, and I can tell you all about those two items. And she did a fabulous job on those, by the way. Okay, so let me start off with the steak. And I'll just have a little piece here because I don't have a fork with me. So let me try it. With the steak, and try it with the wine. General rule, a Syrah, whatever, goes really good with steak. It's a red wine. This one's fairly bold. It's a good steak, by the way. It has a fair amount of tan in it, so it should go really well with the steak. Not bad. Not bad at all. Now, I have to say that the steak tastes better than the wine. I mean, the wine, they pair okay. They pair fairly well. It's just the thing about the pepper in the wine, I like to put black pepper on my steak sometimes. This actually works okay with the steak in that regard. It actually adds a little bit of peppery spice to it. I'd like to try another piece, if I may. And I may. Let's try one more piece. If I can keep it on my finger. And I'm trying not to disturb the presentation there. And this is a very, very good steak. But, what steak was this, by the way? I don't remember anymore. Okay, good steak. The wine? Let me see. Actually, the steak tames the wine down somewhat. And the peppery flavor mixed with the tannin in here, basically medium tannin now, does work well with the steak. And you know what? To be honest, the alcohol taste in here has diminished a little bit with the steak. The alcohol. Now, of course, you know, you can have a steak with a little bit of bourbon or whatever, that bourbon steak. Nothing wrong with that. And in this case, I think this actually pairs well with that steak. It actually does. So I'd say this is a winner with the steak. I think that's all right. By itself, I don't know that I would drink this by itself, but with the steak, okay. Seems to have mellowed out a little bit. Might still be the steak talking. Let me clear the palate. Okay, clear the palate. Let's go back to camera three, and let's try it with the, now this is the Creamy Toscana with Coastal Syrah. And what this is on the end here, so I can bring it up to camera. See, you got the Toscana cheese with the Syrah. That's what's on the edge of the cheese there, apparently. So we're going to try that. And it reminds me a little bit of a, now, it's kind of semi-hard cheese. It's good cheese, by the way. Very good cheese. Let's see if it pairs well with the lime. Oh, not bad. And once again, because it has the Syrah wine taste in this cheese, and basically it has the peppery taste in this Shiraz, they actually pair fairly well together. I'm okay with it. This is actually a pretty good pairing. I'm starting to think that this wine is actually pretty decent if it's paired with food. Not on its own, but when it's paired with food. But we'll find out in just a moment with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. Let me clear the palate first. All right. Palette cleared. Let's go back to camera three, and let's try it with the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda. And as you know, we've never had a miss with the Double Cream Gouda. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this a drum roll, please. And try it with the Double Cream Gouda. Works good with the cream, with the creamy Gouda, Double Cream Gouda, and it makes the wine a little bit clean. It kind of softens the wine just a little bit, and it softens the tannins for sure. And it actually is a pretty decent pairing. So I like it with the Double Cream Gouda. I liked it with both the cheeses and with the steak. You know what? On its own, I can't say that it is a great wine to drink by itself, but I think pairing with foods, it's actually pretty decent, pretty good. Not the best wine I've ever had for food pairing by any means, but it's actually not bad. It's actually pretty decent. Wow. It's, let me see if I can have another taste on its own. It seems to have softened up a little bit as it's opened up. First few tastes, when I first opened up the bottle, it was kind of intense, but it seems to have mellowed out a little bit. I'll have to say that, what site was it that says that it was smooth? Reverse Wine Snob said it was smooth, whatever that means. And it says, I guess they're saying that it's actually a smooth, it says a nice, smooth $8 fine, Trader Joe's. That's reading from their website. I didn't find this wine smooth at all when I first opened it. I thought it was a little bit intense. It seems to have smoothed out as it's opened up. So, to be fair, I'm going to wait until the end of the show to do a final review on the wine, as I always do, and maybe the fact that this wine is opening up, maybe by the end of the show, it will have opened up enough to where it really is smoother. I didn't find it really all that smooth in the very beginning, but that was just the first few tastes. So we'll do that. How about that? And in the meantime, everybody get into the chats. We're going to do some, very shortly here, we're going to do some sci-fi trivia. I hope you'll join me for that. I have some trivia questions set up for everybody. I hope you'll, chime in. And you know what? If you're a first timer on here watching the show, you could win a prize. So we've got folks watching in all the venues here. So just jump in and tell me hi. Tell me what you're drinking, what you're not drinking, or what you like to be drinking, or what you'd like to see me drinking if I can afford a bottle of it, which is getting harder to do these days. I'll see if I can find it and buy one and drink it too. All right, so with that, we have the tasting out of the way. We've got some coffee to review as well. Before that, let's get to the national days because I'm sure everyone's anxious to toast the national days. So without any further ado, let's toast the national days. By the way, these national days are courtesy of nationaldaycalendar.com. National Day Calendar is Marlo Anderson's site. He is the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com and the curator of all these national days. So this is what we have for tonight. Tonight, it is October 7th, 2023, for another hour and 12 minutes. And tonight, Saturday, is National Propane Day. Yes, it is National Propane Day. I kid you not. I did not know that propane had its own day, but it is National Propane Day. So I will drink to that. Okay, National Propane Day. It's also National Play Outside Day. First Saturday of every month is National Play Outside Day. Did you play outside? It was a beautiful day today in our neck of the woods, so to speak, where we are here in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was a beautiful day today, nice and cool, perfect weather. I didn't go outside that much, but I did go outside a little bit to walk the dogs and things like that. It was really, really nice. Here's the National Play Outside Day. I did see some of the neighbors playing outside, by the way. A lot of them. A lot of people were playing outside today, so it was a great day for it. Perfect weather. Here's the National Play Outside Day. I'll drink to that. It's also, today is also National, now I'm going to have to, forgive me if I butcher this up a little bit, but it's National Trigeminal Neuralgia Awareness Day. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly or not. Trigeminal? I really had no idea what it was. I had to go look it up because I had never really heard of it. National Trigeminal Neuralgia Awareness Day. My wife, she's a nurse, so she knows this stuff, so she could probably tell me, and I didn't ask her before the show, so I don't know. Here's what I got from nationaldaycalendar.com. The trigeminal nerve is the largest of cranial nerves and consists of 12 pairs of nerves that control many functions of the face. Causes of trigeminal neuralgia range from pressure on the nerve, aging, or a disorder that wears away the myelin, such as cerebral palsy. Other causes include injury or stroke. I'm still reading this from nationaldaycalendar.com. Those with trigeminal neuralgia may experience severe pain in the face and jaw. Even slight stimulation can trigger pain. The pain can be shooting or jabbing. Before an episode begins, some sufferers experience a burning sensation. The pain may be localized or spread and may worsen over time. It can also last a few minutes or days. While treatments such as surgery or medications may provide relief, the condition is progressive over time. So that's what National Trigeminal Neuralgia Awareness Day is, to make ourselves aware of this condition. And I don't know how many people have this condition, but it doesn't sound like something I want to have or that I want anyone to have. So here's the National Trigeminal Neuralgia Awareness Day. I'll link to that. Today is also, believe it or not, it's National Chocolate-Covered Pretzel Day. That's right. It is National Chocolate-Covered Pretzel Day. It is. National Chocolate Covered Pretzel Day. Yeah, I haven't had one in a long time. I thought maybe she called me while she was at Trader Joe's. Says, give me a list of the national days. So I gave her a list, and I thought, well, maybe she'll bring home some chocolate covered pretzels. She did not. I don't know if that's because Trader Joe's didn't have any or because she just said, Rick doesn't need chocolate covered pretzels on any day, which is probably what she was thinking. But anyway, my wife is the greatest. She looks after me. Here's the National Chocolate Covered Pretzel Day. I'll drink to that. It's also National Inner Beauty Day. We should always try to find the inner beauty in everyone. National Inner Beauty Day. I will drink to that. Well, breaking out into an old song, you know, everybody's beautiful. And yes, and there's an inner beauty. All right, so here's where we get to the interesting national days. And once again, I'm going to show you these photos that were provided by, well, this was one I took, but this was of the presentation for tonight. Tonight's food presentation, courtesy of my lovely wife, Chi. And by the way, I want to give her some applause for this wonderful presentation. She did a fantastic job on it. So let me explain what this is. As she explained it to me, we have two national days here today, October 7th, 2023. The first one is National LED Light Day. That's right. It's National LED Light Day. And as you can see behind me, I have some LED lights. They circle around here and they make, you know what, in honor of National LED Light Day, let's mix up the lights a little bit. How about that? Okay. Maybe give it a little more of a, how about a wine kind of, whoop, I've got it upside down. Let's make it, it's not working. I think the battery's dead on this thing. Yeah. The battery might be dead on it. There we go. We've got some green there. We got some red. It's making my other sign go off. It's really weird. I don't know what's going on with that. More glitches tonight. National LED Light Day. And in honor of National LED Light Day, my lovely wife, Chi, made one of the items she made on here was a light bulb. This is right here is a light bulb. And this light bulb is made out of pear. It's a pear. And it's edible. By the way, everything she makes on here is edible, except the glasses that are holding them. I think the foil, there's some foil. I'm pointing at it, but you can't really see my finger because that's a photo. Not an overhead shot. Here's the overhead shot. That's looking overhead, but there's some foil there on it. And she did a fantastic job on that, but that's for National LED Light Day. For National LED Light Day, I say, I'll drink to that. I like LED lights. And they've, you know what? This entire studio now, well, an exception of two lights here. I've got two lights here that are still lit with a couple of the different kinds of lights here. But a lot of them here are, across the studio, are LED lights. I mean, 10 years ago, this studio would have been really, really hot if I'd been using incandescent lights or any other kind of photo lights in here. It would be unbearably hot at this point because I have I got a pair here, one here, one back there that's kind of off at the moment, but five or six lights sometimes going. It's that's a lot of lighting, and the LED lights are generally fairly cool, so compared to some of the other, some of the old style photo lamps that we used to use. So I'd say I love LED lights, and they do save a lot of energy. So here's to National LED Light Day. I will drink to that. It's also, here's the second national day, and I will tell you that this is another exciting, has a nice, exciting thing to look at and possibly eat. I'm not sure about it, but here is, today is also, if I can find my, what happened to my drum roll? Here it is. Today is also National Frappe Day. Yep. Today is National Frappe Day. You know what a frappe is? A frappe is kind of a drink that's made with maybe a cappuccino or a coffee and some milk, and sometimes they put water in it too. There's already water in coffee in the drink. A couple of other items that make a frappe, and they whip it or blend it and make it all frothy and everything. That's a frappe. Okay, I don't drink them myself. I really don't. Never really did. I just drink regular coffee, black, like we're going to have tonight. But National Frappe Day, and this is what my lovely wife Chi made for National Frappe Day. She made that on the left in that photo. She made a little mini frappe. That's what that is. And we're going to, I guess we're going to try it. She said she made it out of, there it is right here. Let me pull it off of here. She made it out of, I'm going to closer shot here. she says she made it out of cream cheese and chocolate. So it would hold its body. Now, she said it's okay, safe to eat, so I'm going to try a little bit. Cream cheese and chocolate. I don't know. I'm going to have just a little bit of it. I don't have a spoon or fork. She forgot to give me a fork, and I forgot to get one. Let me try just a little bit of a taste of this and see what it's like, if I can pull it up. Very, very rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's very, very rich. I'll say that. Very rich, but it's good, and yeah, it's edible. So here is to here is to National Frappe Day. I'll drink to that. Can't say that it goes great with the wine, but it's interesting. But I think that'll do it for the national days. Anyway, this is what we're drinking here, the Posse Shiraz. It's a McLaren Vale wine. And so far, it is starting to mellow out. It is starting to mellow out somewhat. So that's good. That's good. All right. Is everybody ready for some sci-fi trivia? Sci-fi trivia? Well, before we get to that, let's try the coffee, because I think it's time to do the coffee, and we'll do some sci-fi trivia here shortly. I'm waiting for folks to get in the chat so we can all get in here and do sci-fi trivia, because this is supposed to be a group participation thing. All right, so let's bring out the coffee, and this is what we have that we're going to drink tonight for coffee. I'm going to review the coffee now, and let me pull up the coffee. If I can get the photos back up. Here we are. This is what we're reviewing tonight. This is Trader Joe's French Roast Coffee Cups. This is a dark roast, 100% Arabica coffee, dark roast. Now, I'm not really that into really dark roast coffees. And normally, I'm not a real big fan of French roast coffees because most of them are very bitter, very intense. Because they are dark roast. A lot of them are. So not unusual. There have been a couple of French roast style coffees that I have liked, but I don't drink them that much. But as a general rule, I try to stay to the medium roast coffees, especially in the morning. Because I just, you know, that's just my style. And because getting older, my stomach can't take the really, really heavy stuff. I can't really do the Death Wish coffees and things like that much anymore. Although I did have a cup the other day, a little bit of a cup the other day, and it had me wired all afternoon and part of the evening. So, and it didn't sit too well with my stomach either, for the most part. So, over time. So, I try to stay away from the really, really, really heavy coffees like that. So I prefer the medium roast coffees, sometimes the light roast, the medium roast, and some of the flavored coffees. But this one, this French roast coffee, looked pretty interesting. And I thought, well, we hadn't reviewed a coffee in a few weeks, so let's go ahead, or a couple of weeks, actually. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and try this. I had not seen this before that I could recall at Trader Joe's. 12 single serving cups. And I'm trying to remember what I paid for it. I think I got the receipt for it here. Let's see. I don't think this is it. No, that's not it. I got these things all over the place. Okay, and that's not it. And is this one it? Yes, this is it right here. This one. Trader Joe's French Roast Coffee K-Cups. I paid $5.29. $5.29 for these Trader Joe's French Roast K-Cups. And there are 12 cups in this package of coffee, which basically comes out to what? I don't know. I can't even do my math anymore. You know. Anyway. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to brew some of this, and we're going to brew it in the official. Yes, I do have ready here the official Drink with Rick coffee maker. The official Drink with Rick coffee maker. We have it ready here. And I'm going to pour in, now I've got my coffee mug here. This is the official Drink with Rick coffee mug, actually. It says, there's always time for friends, wine, and coffee. There's always time for friends, wine, and coffee. Let me get, that's the one I want. It's always time for friends, wine, and coffee. Courtesy of my good friend Ed, who actually I don't think he's in the chat tonight, but usually he's here. And I want to thank Ed for doing that, for giving me that nice gift. All right, so we've got this just about ready. The only other thing we need two things. We need some water. And I'm going to put in, let's see, I'm going to put in about 12 ounces. Let's try putting in about 12 ounces. That's kind of hard for me to see in here. All right, let's put in about 12. Whoop. Could that be glitch number 3 for tonight? All right, let's see. Let's put in some. There you go. I don't know what that is. 12 ounces, 14 ounces. I've got water everywhere now. All right, so yeah, I think it's about 12 ounces. And let's clear the water off. And then let's bring out the coffee. That's the other thing we need is coffee. After I clean up the mess. Yes, this is live, folks. All my errors, my mistakes are live. This is the French roast coffee from Trader Joe's. We're going to open this up, and then we'll show you the back of the, or the side of this thing, so we can learn more about the coffee. But the way it opens is, it's supposed to open from the top, I think, from what I gather. All right. I don't know if I can get this thing open from the top. There we go. There's a pull tab there. If I can get the pull tab open. Well, that keeps it fresh. There we go. It does keep it fresh. Got the pull tab open. And we've got the coffee cup. Now, this concerns me a little bit. Let me show you the coffee cup. This design of the K-cup, because the actual K-cup design, what camera am I on? Get on camera too. Okay, the actual design of the K-cup is a patented design. So you have to pay them a royalty, or Keurig, a warrant. Keurig is the one who created that patented design. So generally people have to pay, when these companies have to pay Keurig a royalty for using their K-cup design. The way they get around that is they come up with their own modified design that'll still work in the K-Cup machines, but is not technically a K-Cup. Now, in the case of Trader Joe's, they've done a couple of things. And one of the things that I don't like about this design, the two things, notice that they've, I don't know if you can see it up real close, but rather than your traditional K-Cup is completely enclosed, and then it punches a hole in the bottom, punches a hole in the top and in the bottom. And the hole in the top, it punches through a foil, sealed foil covering the top, and then it punches a hole in the bottom. This design, what it does is it's, if you notice, as general, it's kind of recessed. The bottom is recessed a little bit to try to avoid the needle that punches it in the bottom. And the needle that punches at the top, this is not foil. This is kind of a plastic, and it's kind of a it's somewhat of an elastic plastic. It's one that has some give in it, some play in it. So it's a little bit harder to punch. Also, this is not enclosed. This is open on the sides. The filter, the sides are made up of a filter all the way around. So instead of the coffee going into the top and out the bottom as a traditional K-Cup would, I'm doing this right, here we go. What it does is it punches a hole in the top and then the coffee comes out the sides like this. That's how this works. This is a little bit problematic. I'm not going to get into the details of it right now, but it does become problematic, especially when you want to keep your little K-Cup tray clean, or if you want to, you know, if you want to keep it from getting too messed up or whatever. This is going to get coffee all in this thing, okay? Before it goes down the little hole. I don't really care for that design too much. And it doesn't work very well on some machines, like our machine downstairs. It does not work very well at all. It causes a mess sometimes, and sometimes we'll get one that explodes in there. So I'm not real crazy about this, but we're going to try it on this one tonight and see how it works. In the meantime, we're going to put the mug in place. I'm going to forget the mug. That would be error number four. We get coffee everywhere. I've done that before, by the way. Come out in the morning, I'm half asleep, and I'll put the pot in there and close it up like this, and then hit the button to start, and then I forgot to put the cup there, and before I know it, there's just coffee all over the place. Try not to let that happen tonight. Okay, so far so good, right? All right, so here we go. We're going to. Now, I've got two buttons. I can choose to do the regular or the, what is the one down here? This is the bold. I do not want the bold because the French roast is already, typically, already kind of bold. That's a bold style of coffee. So I'm just going to go with the regular roast. We're going to turn it on. And there it is. It's starting to go. It's going to take a couple minutes for this to... It's going to make a lot of noise for a couple of minutes. But it's going to take a couple of minutes for it to kind of trickle down in there. And we'll see how it works. So, I'm looking forward to trying a good French roast coffee. We'll see how this plays out. All right, in the meantime... While it's doing that, let me go ahead and set up for our sci-fi trivia contest. Anybody in the chat that wants to get in and do this sci-fi trivia, just jump right in. And Joey's in the chat on Facebook. Joey's great to see you. Thanks for being here. I hope you'll stick around for some sci-fi trivia because we're going to do some here in just a moment. And hopefully Joey's missed most of my little errors tonight. So far on the show, I tell you, when you're doing a show live, that's the way it is. There's no, I can't sit here and do my take two. Yeah, I've got them down here. I could just easily go up in most cases and go, yeah, take two, but I don't have that tonight. I can't do a live show. So, We've had a few glitches tonight. All right. It's brewing. I think it's brewing. Let me see if we have any brewing music here that we can go with. I don't really have any brewing music. I've got all these videos themselves. That's about it. I could show a short film, but it's more fun to just sit here and wait for the coffee to start brewing, right? I think it's about to happen. I think it's about to happen. Here we go. We're getting some coffee now. Is it coming out? I kind of feel like Captain Kangaroo waiting for a move. Okay, here we go. It's starting to happen. It's starting to happen. It's happening now.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So, wow, that looks pretty intense. I'm seeing it coming out here now, and it smells intense. This is really strong coffee. Almost like Death Wish coffee, or what's the other one? Black Rifle, or whatever it is it's called. Really, really intense coffees.
Oh, great. And,
wow, this is... looks pretty intense. I'm going to put this in front of the... just so you can see just how intense this is. It's going to do this for a minute or two. That reminds me. I need to schedule my... never mind. All right. I need to... schedule a trip to the urologist. That reminds me. Anyway, yeah, I said it anyway. Okay, so let me put this in front of camera 3. And let me show you just how intense that coffee is. It's very, very bold. Very bold. Now, obviously, this coffee is going to be a little bit too strong or too hot, I should say, for me to try right off the bat. It's just very hot. But smelling it, taking a whiff, this is a very, very bold coffee. Which camera am I on? Over here. This is a very, very bold coffee. And, well, this late at night, this is going to have me wired for a while. Now, the show's going to end, and I'm still going to be wired on this coffee. So maybe I should go really, really easy on it. It smells okay, but it smells really intense. This French, and once again, that's not abnormal for a French roast. Your typical French roast is going to be rather strong and intense. And usually they are dark roast coffees. So, yeah, you've got to, if you don't like a French roast coffee, you may want to skip this one. So it's going to take a minute or two for this to cool down. I didn't bring the ice or anything with me. So we're going to let it cool down for just a minute or two. But I tell you what, while it's cooling down, let's go ahead and do some trivia, some movie trivia, if everyone's game for that. Anybody? Hard to do trivia when everybody's just passively watching. But let's go ahead and give it a try. Okay, so... this is what I have for TV trivia tonight. TV trivia. Let me pull that up. Where's my TV trivia? What did I do with it?
No.
That's not the TV trivia. I lost my TV trivia. I have to find out what I do. Oh, yeah, it's down here. There we go. All right, so now we have TV trivia. This is what we've got here. So if everybody's ready to do a little TV trivia, and this coffee's way too hot, let's start off. First TV trivia question has to do with one of my favorite shows or one of my favorite movies, and it's an old TV classic. What TV show is the movie Serenity based on? Anybody know what TV show is the movie Serenity based on? If you're familiar with the movie Serenity, it starred Nathan Fillion. a cast of a very, very talented cast of actors. And of course, this was the movie that was based on a specific TV show. It was short-lived. It only lasted one season. In fact, I don't think they actually finished showing every episode. I don't think they aired every episode of that season. I think there were 14 episodes, and I think they only aired 11 of them before the show was canceled. But then they later on, they made a movie based on this TV show. And this was it's now become a classic. It has almost a cult following to it now. And I enjoy the show, and I enjoy the movie. So the question is, what TV show is the movie Serenity based on? Okay, the TV show, here's the answer. The TV show the movie Serenity is based on is Firefly. That's the name of the show that is based on. There you go. We'll do a couple more. If anybody wants to get in the chats and they want to try their hand at some TV trivia. What's the next one we have here? Okay. And is this coffee ready yet? No. Let me see if this coffee's cold enough. I'm still waiting for this coffee to cool down. While we're waiting for the coffee to cool down, let's go on to the next sci-fi trivia question. All right, here's the question two. The movie Metropolis, a classic film from the 1920s. Classic film. It was a dystopian look. It was a look at a dystopian future. Metropolis. It was a silent film, which had a nice a musical track that was added onto it later, especially when they remastered it. I saw the remastered version, and they did a great job of just restoring the film and remastering it and then adding the nice music track to it. But who directed the movie Metropolis? We'll try the music again here. Give me a few seconds. Who directed the movie Metropolis? Classic film. That was in the silent era. The answer is Fritz Lang. Fritz Lang. He was the director of the movie Metropolis. So there you go. We'll try one more because the coffee's still too hot for me to drink. One more, and I think it should be cooled down enough for me to drink. In the meantime, let's try one more. One more TV trivia. Here is question three. Which of these films were not produced by Puppetoon creator George Powell? This goes back to a lot of the films in the 1950s. And I'm a 1950s sci-fi buff. Which of these films were not produced by Puppetoon creator George Powell? He was known for making the Puppetoons, stop-motion animation, but he made a number of sci-fi films as well. So which one of the films listed here were not produced by Puppetoon creator George Powell? A would be War of the Worlds, B, When Worlds Collide, C, Destination Moon, or D, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Read that again. Which one of these films were not produced by Puppetoon creator George Powell? War of the Worlds, When Worlds Collide, Destination Moon, or The Day the Earth Stood Still? Okay, I'll give the answer. The answer is, if anybody in the chat knows the answer, no? Okay, let me check all around. All right. So here's the answer. The answer is D, The Day the Earth Stood Still. There you go. That was the only one of those four films that were not produced by George Powell. The other three, he did produce them. And of those, he directed, well, I don't think he directed any of those. He directed a few of the other sci-fi films, but he did not have anything to do with The Day the Earth Stood Still. That was a different film altogether. So there you go. That's the tonight's sci-fi trivia, and I think now the coffee is cool enough to try, so we will try it. We'll give it a try, and let me see if we can give it a nice... Oh, man, this is hot coffee, I tell you. This is really hot coffee. All right, let's give this coffee a try. Okay. Okay, it's cool enough to drink. First taste, very bitter. Not surprising for a French roast. It's going to be a rather bitter coffee as a general rule. And no cracks about the French, okay? I love the French people. They're good people. All right. On the outset, very, very, very caffeinated, I'll say that. And as a French roast goes, it's okay. It's okay. I could finish drinking this. It's not something I drink every day because this is very, very strong. But once again, it's very bitter. A little bit on the oily side, just a little bit. Maybe I want to say probably a little bit more so. Now on the third taste, little bit on the oily side, in my opinion. But let me show you what I have. And this is the front of it, and I didn't read the side, but let me read the side of this. It says, I should have done this earlier. It says, we'll let you in on a little secret. It's not Paris. It's the coffee. Trader Joe's French Roast coffee brings the beauty and wonder of the City of Light to your cup. A long, slow roast brings out the natural oils and the beans, giving a dark, rich brew with full, strong flavors. Okay, well, that would explain why it tastes a little oily to me. I didn't really look at that. Natural oils and the beans. Okay, yeah, all right. So, yeah, it is kind of oily. Whether you're searching for a less expensive alternative to a trip across the Atlantic or simply a great cup of coffee, our French roast coffee will make your dreams come true. Wee wee. You know, wee wee, but not my coffee. For use with Keurig K-Cup coffee makers. Distributed and sold exclusively by Trader Joe's. And that is ingredients, Arabica coffee. That's what's in there. That's all it is. So, yeah, that would explain, brings out the natural oils. That would explain why the coffee tastes a little on the oily side to me. It does. I mean, I can taste the oils, the natural oils in the coffee. I can't say that I like, see, on a personal level, I can't say that I like oily coffee. And that's one reason why I don't drink a lot of French roast. Although I do have it on occasion, as I said before. I can't say that's my favorite kind of coffee. This is a little bit intense for me. Some folks really do like that French roast coffee. This one, yeah, it's a little too oily and bitter for me, but it's okay. If you like a French roast, it tastes like a French roast coffee. It does. It tastes like a typical French roast. So nothing to write home about there. It's okay, though. I mean, it's all right. It's just not my everyday cup of coffee. So that's my review on that. I'll just say that it's... Would I buy it again? I might keep some around just for people who like to visit, who like a French roast coffee, but it's not, once again, it's not something I drink every day. Now, the wine, on the other hand, let's go ahead and give a final review on the Posy Shiraz McLaren Vale wine. This is one at Trader Joe's, $7.99, that I purchased at Trader Joe's. And for $7.99, it's okay. I did taste, I'll try it again because it's been sitting here for a while. See if it's opened up anymore. I will say that it's mellowed out a bit. Since my first tasting, it was a bit intense, and a fair amount more alcohol taste than I really would have liked. And yes, the various spices and aromas kind of just came right back up my nose during the final. During the final swallow on that, and I didn't really care for it that much. It was a little bit too aromatic for me, too perfumey, and it left this kind of perfumey taste in my mouth. That was the first, second, and third taste when I first opened the bottle. However, as I've been drinking the wine a little bit, and on this final pass here, and then after having it open for a while, it has mellowed out quite a bit. Yes, I'm tasting blackberry in here. I'm really still not getting plum that they said was in here, and strawberry and that sort of thing. But it's still very perfumey. But it's not as intense as it was in the very beginning. But there is a lot of perfume that comes back up on the finish. And it's not going up through my nose like it did in the first few tastes, but it's still there and it's still in my mouth. It's okay. Now, I would not drink this. I still would not drink this by itself, which is what I've been doing a little bit here since I've tasted the coffee. But it did go... Surprisingly, it did go really well with everything on the plate here. It went well with the steak. It went really well with the Coastal Syrah, the creamy Toscano with Coastal Syrah, and went really well with the Double Cream Gouda, Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, not surprisingly. So it was actually paired with food. I think it was fine. I think this would pair nicely with a lot of different foods. It's just that this is not a wine that I would drink on its own. It's just not my – it's just a little bit too much for that. I would prefer a lighter wine if I'm just going to drink it by itself, you know. And, of course, I'm a guy who likes to drink Chianti's and a lot of other fruity wines. It's a fruity wine, but it's really more perfumey than just fruity. And it tastes a little jammy at first. Some of that subsided a little bit. There's a fair amount of tannin in it. It's okay. But I think the tannins pair really well with the food, especially the steak. So I think if you're going to have this, have it with some food, have it with some steak, red meat, That's fine. The cheeses are fine. I don't know that I would drink it by itself. That's my final review of the wine, really. So I think that's going to do it for the show tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining me here tonight on the show. I want to thank Joey for being in the chat on Facebook. Thank you for being here. I really, really appreciate it. And my lovely wife, Chi. Thank you for being here, and everybody who is watching me, on Odyssey and YouTube and Twitch, who did not get into the chats, but thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Anyway, just the same. There's no hard rule that you have to get in the chats. That's fine. You know, it's you direct the show, so if you get in the chats, it's more fun that way. Just the fact that you're watching, I really appreciate it. And the kind feedback and comments that I get from folks later on watching the shows and say, hey, really enjoy the show, that's kind of thing. That's much appreciated. So it's all good. It's all good. Look, next week, in the next few weeks, well, next week we're going to open up another bottle of wine and we're going to open up beer. And I'm looking forward to opening up this porter here. Just to let you know that the holidays are coming up soon, and during the holidays, the plan is to do the drinking game again. It's going to be a two weeks of the drinking game. I want to give away some prizes, so join me for that. In November, towards the holidays, I'm also going to show for the first time. I'm going to show the full premiere of Space Apes from Ice Planet Alpha during the show. Now, we have done this a couple of times where I've done an after show, and I showed it during that. But this is going to be during the show so everybody can see it. And the after shows don't stay online. So those who were there for the show and stayed around for the after show got to see the movie. But it wasn't distributed after the fact, after the live show aired. This time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the entire film. It's going to be in pieces, but I'm going to show the entire film during the show. So look forward to that. And that's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting because it's basically going to be a premiere, an actual premiere of Space Apes from Ice Planet Alpha. So I hope you'll enjoy me for that. Anyway, until then, I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. And there's one more celebrity I want to bring out. And that celebrity is, of course, none other than Roadkill Bill. And Bill has a very important message. Which camera are you on, Bill? Let's put you on this one. There we go. Bill has a very, very important message for everyone. He's the official mascot of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And his message is, do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is, wherever you are. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a friend, call a cab, get on a bus. Call a friend who has not been drinking and who has a valid driver's license and a car with a valid registration so you don't get stopped or anything and is not carrying anything illegal in the car. I'm not going to go down that road, but just the same, call someone you trust to take you home. Otherwise, just stay put because that's really the safest thing to do. It's safer for you and especially safer for everyone around you. Also, don't text and drive. That's also extremely dangerous. Right, Bill? That's right. Because I want you to have a safe week. Did I say that right? I messed it up, didn't I? Yeah, that was the fourth glitch. Okay. I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week, along with Roadkill Bill, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.